This is KGNU's Morning Magazine for Wednesday, July 7th. I'm your host, Shannon Young. Thank you for joining us here on listener-supported community radio. Coming up on today's program, we kick off the summer fun drive, and you know what that means. Time to put the listener support in listener-supported radio. Then we bring you the latest news in the ongoing legal fight against trails at and around Rocky Flats. Finally, herbalist Brigitte Mars will tell us about one particular form of edible weed that you may have growing in your backyard. A BBC update and commentary from Jim Hightower are at the bottom of the hour. And then it's a special fun drive edition of A Public Affair. That's all still ahead this morning after these headlines with KGNU's Jamie Sudler.
Yesterday, Colorado Governor Jared Polis signed a new law into effect that requires police to release body camera footage within 21 days after a complaint is made about an officer's conduct. The new provision takes effect immediately and mandates that the release of recordings not be redacted, with a few exceptions. The new law also removes qualified immunity for state patrol officers and agents of the Colorado Bureau of Investigation. That legal defense protected officers from liability in civil actions based on alleged misconduct. Other law enforcement officials have had their qualified immunity removed by other legislation. Other police reform laws signed by Polis yesterday reclassify misdemeanors and in general reduce penalties for them. And another requires bond hearings within 48 hours after a person is arrested. The reforms come in the wake of the police killings of George Floyd in Minneapolis and Elijah McClain in Aurora, among others, and the protests that followed. The governor also signed a new law yesterday that bans single-use plastic bags and polystyrene packaging. The bill is aimed at getting consumers and businesses to reduce their use of products. The ban goes into effect January 1, 2024, and starting a year earlier in 2023, retailers across the state must start charging a 10-cent fee for bags, including paper. The city of Denver and other municipalities have already imposed those fees, with Boulder doing so years ago. There are several exemptions under the new law, such as restaurants and shops with three or fewer locations in the state, as long as they are not a chain with other locations outside the state. The new plastics law was passed by Democrats in the state legislature without any Republican support. The Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment reported yesterday that in six counties, more than 70% of the eligible population has been fully vaccinated against COVID-19. In another 24 counties, at least half of those eligible have been fully immunized through shots. However, the Colorado Sun reports that in parts of the state where large numbers of people have not been vaccinated, the virus could thrive, and this could result in patchiness around the state in how the pandemic affects people. For example, currently in western Colorado's Mesa County, the vaccination rate is low, and cases are being driven by the highly transmissible Delta variant. Hospitals there have been overwhelmed, with 96% of beds occupied over the holiday weekend. In contrast, in the Denver metro area, where vaccination rates are significantly higher, only 80% of hospital beds were occupied. While vaccination rates in some parts of the state are high, recent data shows that Colorado has one of the highest death rates in the country. NBC News reports that only Michigan, Georgia, and West Virginia have had more COVID deaths per 100,000 people than Colorado. The Delta variant could be the reason, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Colorado is one of 10 states where the hyper-transmissible variant is the dominant strain. Dr. Michelle Barron of UC Health told 9 News that the Delta variant is more contagious and has been shown to make people sicker. The former chief judge of the Colorado Supreme Court is under investigation by the state for his role in awarding a contract to an official who threatened to disclose information in a sex discrimination lawsuit. The Denver Post reports that the Colorado Attorney Regulation Counsel's Office is examining the conduct of former Chief Justice Nathan Coates. The investigation is being conducted with the assistance of 2 lawyers from Chicago who have experience in attorney misconduct. The investigation focuses on a contract that was given to a former Judicial Department staff member who was facing termination over financial irregularities that the Post revealed 2 years ago. It may be the first time a state Supreme Court justice has been investigated. A judge has denied a request to stop the city of Boulder from funding a connection between trails into the Rocky Flats National Wildlife Refuge. The site was a facility that made nuclear weapons for components. The judge dismissed the challenge to stop the city's funding but allowed it to be refiled if the plaintiffs choose to. We'll have more on this story after headlines. The University of Colorado Boulder has appointed a new official for diversity, equity, and inclusion. Sonia DeLuca Fernandez, who has worked at Pennsylvania State University, will take the new position. According to a statement from CU in her role, DeLuca Fernandez will provide direction for programs and strategies to improve campus culture. She starts September 1st. It's going to be hot for the next few days, with the high today around 90 under sunny skies. And tomorrow and Friday, highs will be in the upper 90s and approaching 99 in Denver. Saturday, we'll see some relief with highs in the upper 80s. Right now, it's 66 along the Front Range. For KGNU, I'm Jamie Sudler.
You are listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU, and we are jumping straight into the fund drive because we have a show goal of $250 this morning. That can be four new members at $60 a piece, or three donations at $100, or you could become a listener member, solar member, sustainer. Give us just a little piece each month to know that we can count on it. You can be a solar member like Joyce and Stan in Boulder, or Jasmine in Lakewood, Mary Lawrence in Bailey. And on this side of the microphone here in the Boulder studios, I am connected to Jamie Sudler in the Denver studios. I don't know how many people know that you are in a completely different city than me, Jamie.
I know that. I am down here in Denver, and we can communicate directly, and it's wonderful. The Denver studio opened in November. It's just a fantastic facility, but we need your support to keep this studio going, and need you to call at 303-449-4885 to pledge your support for KGNU. Shannon?
Yeah, I mean, and you can do this online as well. It's secure donation. It's painless. It's quick. KGNU.org. And while you're there on the website, you can choose a thank you gift. You can choose a book. You can choose a KGNU bandana, a t-shirt, just kind of sport it around town. Come on. I mean, show us that you support your community radio station. And, you know, mentioning the Denver studio, I got to say, like, I went there and I was so impressed. That is such a lovely facility right there, Jamie.
It is beautiful. It's a great improvement over where we used to be, although that was wonderful, too.
And I want to give listeners kind of a peek behind the curtain as to what it is that you do, because we hear what you do on the air, you know, 5-6 minutes of headlines every morning. Well, the Mondays and Wednesdays. Walk us through what goes into producing the headlines.
Well, it's it's about a 5-minute segment that I do Monday, Wednesday mornings, and it takes a lot of time. I am watching the news all day to see what's going on before I come in the early morning hours on Monday and Wednesdays. Just to make sure that listeners get the most important things we think they should be hearing and learning about. For instance, this morning talking about COVID-19 and the Delta variant across the state and the new police reforms that went into effect. So it's a labor of love. I start around 4 in the morning to get things going for a 5-minute segment at about 8 o'clock in the morning on Monday and Wednesdays.
Yeah, I think part of the magic of radio is making it look easy. I mean, we're talking to each other, you and I, at 6 in the morning. You know, of course, we don't open up the microphones until 8 or 8:04, right after the BBC headlines. But it's quite a lot of work that goes in behind all of this. And it's thank you to the support of listener members. Thank you to the support of volunteers. Jamie, you do this as a volunteer, and you know you're up at 4 a.m. working on this Mondays and Wednesdays. So I think that also, you know, not just the listener members, but also the volunteers power this station. And I just want to give you a public shout out and thank you. You are here also on federal holidays. I mean, I've been here for a short time. I just got here in April. And you've already worked two federal holidays, worked as a volunteer two federal holidays, waking up early in the morning, making sure listeners are informed, getting the quick shot of breaking news that they need. You did that on this past Monday, which was the July 5th holiday for July 4th. And you also did it on Memorial Day. So, I mean, you're going above and beyond, and I just want to recognize that and urge listeners to support this kind of community investment, right? I mean, this kind of work that people do of their own free volition, right? So give us a call at 303-449-4885 or go online at kgnu.org. Again, we have a show goal, and I can't get my mouth around that, of $250 for the Morning Magazine. And coming up next, we have a story about the Rocky Flats ongoing controversy. I mean, that certainly predates my time here. I can remember walking into the newsroom, and there's as Sam Fuqua would say, a vintage poster, a protest poster of Rocky Flats actions that date back to, what, the 80s? So it's been quite a while. Also, Jamie, I want to remind listeners that you produce a segment that we air every Tuesday called This Week in Water. Tell people about that and, you know, what the reach of it is, who you produce it with, also what goes into that.
Sure, Shannon. Thank you very much. This Week in Water is produced by H2O Radio, a nonprofit journalism organization that Franny Halperin and I started in 2013. Listeners may remember that in 2012, the state suffered one of the biggest droughts it had ever suffered. And now we're learning, of course, that that drought is really part of a long-term aridification or drying of the region. And so we started because we saw that the importance of having journalism about water, and now other journalists have seen that too and are moving in to report about the critical issues of both water quality and water quantity around the West, but around the country too, and actually around the world. So that's what we produce, a newscast that we're proud to have on KGNU on Tuesday mornings. We produce it every week, and to bring listeners up to date about what's going on in the environment and climate change, in particular with water.
And I know that it is a service that our listeners value, because we have gotten feedback about water coverage. Hannah Lee Myers also produces water coverage. You listeners may know her mostly from her reports, like the one that's about to come up on Rocky Flats, but she also produces a podcast called The Water Buffs. So she, you know, we are covering water as much as we can, and we hope that it's providing a service to you. And we want to remind people to please give us a call at 303-449-4885. We do have a match, thanks to various KGNU members who pooled their donations to create a community challenge that will double the first 2,000 donated today. So please let us get that challenge funds. $2,000 over the course of today. We have to kick off our fund drive right. Give us a call, 303-449-4885. Jamie, are there any closing thoughts that you'd like to share? I mean, what brings you to KGNU? What makes you get up in the morning to put together these headlines?
Well, as Maeve Conran, the former news director, was saying earlier this morning, KGNU is a community. It's a community of listeners. It's the volunteer community that supports the station is overwhelming in my mind. And so it's the love of getting information to people that gets me up in the morning, making sure they have what they need to conduct their lives in an informed manner, and not necessarily based upon what a corporate sponsor would have us talk about. So that's what drives me, and that's what makes me, I'm a solar supporter of KGNU in addition to the time I volunteer, and I'm happy to do it because of the community.
Well, thank you, Jamie. Let's go now to Hannah Lee Myers' new piece about an ongoing story that very few outlets are covering, like KGNU, has to do with the controversy around Rocky Flats. Thank you so much, Jamie. And thank you so much to Solar members and to everybody who has called in.
Here on KGNU, we've been keeping you in the loop on the battle over trails at and around Rocky Flats. Is it safe? Is it unsafe? Should the city of Boulder support it or avoid the area as a health hazard? We spoke with the attorney representing some of the opposed groups for the latest update.
Randall Weiner, attorney for Physicians for Social Responsibility Colorado, Environmental Information Network, and Harvey Nichols, the concerned citizens trying to require City Council, Boulder City Council, to abide by the law.
To begin, Weiner gives us some backstory on the battle over the Rocky Flats Greenway to bring us up to speed on the issue.
A couple of weeks ago, City Council took its final step to connect city open space lands south of Boulder with the Rocky Flats National Wildlife Refuge, which my clients are concerned continues to have plutonium, especially the Center Superfund site buried underneath, and they believe that it's far more prudent for Boulder to connect its open space lands with Broomfield's open space lands and circumvent Rocky Flats National Wildlife Refuge. Broomfield has pulled out of this Greenway consortium on old Rocky Flats land, and is a prime place for bike trails to go, avoiding an area that is contaminated with plutonium. So what City Council did was to give a green light to this construction of an underpass between city open space lands and the Rocky Flats refuge without doing something that the 2016 Boulder City Council had required, which is to do an examination of alternatives that included a bikeway that circumnavigated the Rocky Flats National Wildlife Refuge. And city staff never did that. And yet, when city staff brought the issue to this current city council in April, they didn't vote, they didn't do a public hearing, and they didn't undo what the 2016 council had required them to do. City staff took that as a green light and is preparing to move ahead to construct this underpass connecting these two areas, one the pristine Boulder open space lands and the other the plutonium-contaminated Rocky Flats lands. And the city's also planning to expend funds by writing a $5,000 check to the Jefferson County to proceed with this plan. And we believe a judge needs to step in and halt that until the judge has looked at our claims under the complaint and decided that one way or the other, whether the current city council has acted illegally or whether it has not.
While speaking to Weiner, he received an update on their preliminary injunction filing, aimed at stopping Boulder from making that initial payment today related to the underpass from public lands to the proposed Rocky Flats Greenway Trail.
So the order was denied. So this changes things significantly.
Here's Weiner's full explanation of this new development.
Physicians for Social Responsibility and the other plaintiffs, Environmental Information Network and Harvey Nichols, filed a motion on Friday to ask the city to slow down on proceeding with a project to link the city's southern open space lands with the Rocky Flats National Wildlife Refuge. A judge denied our motion without prejudice, saying at this point he thinks that what we're trying to stop, which is the expenditure of city funds, does not constitute irreparable harm, that, in other words, the harm could be clawed back at some future date. If plaintiffs wish to proceed again and seek an injunction, we can do so, but the case is proceeding. Right now, the city has filed a motion to dismiss. The plaintiffs are responding, and we're continuing to monitor and make sure that the underpass is not constructed on city open space lands that would connect the city's lands with the Rocky Flats National Wildlife Refuge.
So now that the judge has denied this motion, it seems likely that today the city of Boulder is probably going to make that initial payment related to the underpass, yeah?
That's right. As of today, we understand the city is going to be writing a check for $5,000 to Jefferson County to reimburse it for some of the expenditures associated with connecting the city's open space lands with the Rocky Flats National Wildlife Refuge and the groups I represent, Physicians for Social Responsibility, Environmental Information Network, CU Professor Emeritus Harvey Nichols. We're all trying to make sure that the city doesn't move ahead too quickly until our concerns are addressed.
Okay, so what happens now?
There is a motion to dismiss, kind of a legal hurdle that the plaintiffs have to surmount, filed by the city. We're working on that, and then we will keep abreast of what happens with the city and probably move again for injunctive relief if we think the city is moving too hard and ignoring this huge chunk of its population that's concerned about Rocky Flats. And obviously the 2016 city council was similarly concerned. So if we think this current city council is continuing to ignore both common sense and the mandates of a prior city council, we'll be back in court.
And that was attorney Randall Weiner updating us on his client's continued fight against the linking of Boulder's southern open space lands and the Rocky Flats Refuge. Stay tuned to KGNU as we keep you updated on this ongoing issue. For KGNU, I'm Hanley Myers.
And I'm Shannon Young, and we are in the studio asking again for you to call in at 303-449-4885. And I'm joined here by Sam Fuqua. I was just mentioning earlier that in the newsroom there was a vintage poster having to do with Rocky Flats. So this has been a topic that has been covered consistently by KGNU over the years.
Absolutely, Shannon. And when you think of big local stories, it's hard to think of many that are bigger over time than the former nuclear weapons production facility just south of Boulder. And KGNU, I think for its entire history, has been covering related topics, from the civil disobedience and protests that occurred when it was active, from the FBI raid and subsequent grand jury investigation, through the efforts to clean the site up and work by the Rocky Mountain Peace and Justice Center and other activist groups to point out that, hey, you know, how are we defining clean here? And what is the level of risk that's still in play at that site as we open it up to public recreation? And that connects to this funding for the Rocky Mountain Greenway Project story. So it's a great example, I think, of KGNU sticking with the story, right? And we know that in a lot of the commercial media, the news cycle is down to, what, I don't know, 45 minutes at this point or something? You know, here's the story. Up. Look over here. Now we're going here. Now we're going here, here, here. And I understand that, you know, topics come and go, but you have to stick with a topic over days, weeks, months, years, and even decades to really serve your community. And this is a great example of KGNU's community service, I think, the fact that we continue to cover Rocky Flats and related topics. We do that because we're not bound by a specific news cycle designed to deliver maximum ratings and line the pockets of the advertisers. We're just trying to respond to what the community is interested in, and maybe there's some times where the community doesn't know about something but should be interested in it, and we're trying to lead the way there. That's what we're able to do through the independence that comes from listeners giving what they can afford during these brief pauses, these opportunities for participation that we do a few times a year. This is one of them. Quick summer mini drive. It's here and gone before you know it. Make that call now so that Rocky Flats continues to be talked about in your local community. 303-449-4885 is the number, 303-449-4885. Or really easy, and we're encouraging as many people as possible to give online. You just go to kgnu.org, you click on that donate button, very easy. And Shannon has been putting out the call for comments. She's new news director, done a great job stepping right in, but wanting to hear feedback from the listeners. So put a comment in there when you make your contribution this morning to kgnu.org, and thank you.
Yes, and it really does help to shape the direction of where things go, because, I mean, it's also important to mention that I'm new in town. So I sometimes am just starting to get a feel for what does constitute a story. And I think that precisely when it comes to Rocky Flats, it's one of those things that could easily be left into the collective amnesia of a community if it isn't constantly covered. Because if you told a newcomer about Rocky Flats, and I'm saying this as a newcomer, I'd be like, oh yeah, they're going to put a bike trail over there. Yeah, that sounds good. But then you say, well, there might be some plutonium. Well, okay, well, maybe there's something deeper there. And, you know, you think of Boulder as a very green, environmentally conscious kind of town. And there's this back history of nuclear missile production that I am completely unfamiliar with, that I am just now kind of getting up to speed on. What are some other important issues that you would say, Sam? I mean, from just the, you were the news director here. So, I mean, you founded the news department, if I'm not mistaken.
I didn't found it.
Okay.
I, if you really want to go way back, David Barsamian was the news director before me. So
okay.
It's a long history of KGNU covering local news topics. I think, you know, anything related to our natural world and the environment around Boulder, we've consistently covered. I mean, we were talking about GMOs and chemically based agriculture many decades before that became a mainstream topic. We've talked about the ongoing affordable housing crisis in Boulder that has just worsened over time. I moved here 30 years ago, and I thought, my God, houses are expensive here. Obviously, in hindsight, you know, should have bought a house right then. But there were people struggling in the 1990s to afford the cost of housing in Boulder, and there's people struggling today, and prices have gotten higher and higher. So affordable housing, an ongoing topic. And then I think poverty generally in our community is one of those where we may not think about it until a local community media resource shines a light and brings voices of people who are struggling to get by, and brings voices of recent immigrants and Spanish-speaking population. It's easy to, I think, go about your life and not necessarily think about these issues, not think that they're important to you as you live your life in comfort. KGNU has consistently tried to bring voices to the airwaves that weren't being heard very many other places. So I would count some of those issues, and the issue of growth, you know, and what that means, and how we define sustainable growth, as Boulder has a long history, of course, of folks thinking about that and making some decisions that had very positive impact, but also had perhaps unintended negative consequences. So those are some of the issues, I think, that if we're talking about Boulder and Boulder County, just a couple of the ones we've covered consistently. Water is another one. Water has become a very popular topic in recent years, as it should, as we have seemingly a greater and greater demand and global climate disruption that is leading us to more drought cycles. But we were talking about water in KGNU 30 years ago and trying to keep that on people's radars as well. So a little bit of history. I didn't know we were going to go there this morning, but but I hope it reminds folks that KGNU has a long history of covering issues that matter in the community, and a sustainable funding model that allows us to do that. Again, so we don't have to say, well, you know, people really want to know about car crashes and fires, and that's what's bringing the ratings up. We don't do that. And we don't do that because we're really just thinking about what matters to you, what matters to the community, and we know that you're out there chipping in what you can afford. It's this direct connection, this independent community media model that has been working pretty good for over 40 years. We just needed to work one more time here on the summer mini drive and ask folks to go to kgnu.org, click on that donate button, chip in a little, and give our new news director, Shannon Young, a little feedback. Like, hey, what are you enjoying? What would you like to hear us talking about more on KGNU? We really do need that feedback. So it happens at kgnu.org, just a couple clicks, or with a phone call to 303-449-4885.
Yes, and we would like to thank Jeff in Boulder, who shares that he loves Rosana Longo's work and the music shows. Rosanna is over in the cabaret studio, and I think she is busily answering a telephone. So maybe
she's taking a donation right now.
Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, shout out to Rosanna. And
yes.
Also, you know, let us know again about programming changes. Of course, one of the, you mentioned of serving immigrant populations. One recent change has been Línea Abierta, putting on Radio Bilingüe in the mornings. And that's, as far as I know, the only broadcast format news show available in Boulder, or at least from a Boulder broadcasting outlet. It does provide a service, and it was mentioned in an impact report about how we can better serve people of Boulder County. And of course, Rosanna does the Spanish language headlines in the afternoons. We do them in English in the morning and Spanish in the afternoon, and that goes up on Facebook and on WhatsApp groups, and you know, gets to community members who may not speak English. So it's a way of informing local news in Spanish, which is something that doesn't really happen much in Boulder County, but it is a service that KGNU is providing. And we have gone over time for the morning magazine. We will play naturally.
Yay.
Which is another lovely segment that it's so nice to, and Brigitte Mars, if you're out there, you know, big ups to Brigitte Mars. Thank you for your weekly volunteer service of just letting us know about all the nice little things that are popping up out of the ground that can be of service to us that might go ignored or just looked over in the course of our going about our day. So thank you to Brigitte Mars. And let's get to naturally before we head off into the next segment.
Greetings. Welcome to Naturally. This is Brigitte Mars to share a little bit about a common garden weed that you may have in your yard or in your plant bed. It's called Malva neglecta. And I am here to tell you that Malva neglecta is an amazing plant. First of all, it's in the Malvaceae family, so it is a relative of cotton, hibiscus, okra, rose of Sharon, and the famous medicinal herb marshmallow. And of course, marshmallow used to be made into a confection, which is not part of the recipe any longer. But what's the deal with malva? It grows low to the ground, and the leaves, much like okra, have a little bit of mucilage in them. So that tells us that it's going to be very soothing, with a slippery, buffering effect for our throat, our intestines, and makes a wonderful salve herb. I can't imagine why people would get in their car and drive to the store to buy lettuce grown in California. That's a very expensive way to ship water from the West Coast, in my opinion. Malva leaves could be put in a salad. Oh, I just thought of another relative of malva, hollyhocks. Wow, you can eat hollyhocks too. But back to the malva. So malva, much like hollyhock, has little tiny pink and white flowers. And those are also edible. And another part of the malva is the famous, what are referred to as cheese wheels. Because, you know, cheese a long time ago used to be in these round sort of shape things. So malva has these seed capsules, affectionately known as cheese wheels, which actually contain protein and vitamin E, and they can be pickled. You could put them in a jar, cover them with vinegar. So we need to remember that Emerson said a weed is an herb whose virtue has not yet been recognized. And a lot of these plants that we've come to disdain are really the ancestors of many of our cultivated and medicinal plants. So every part of malva is edible. The word malva comes from the same root word that like mulberry comes from, and it means soft in reference to the emollient or soothing qualities of the plant. It can be a real game changer to realize that a lot of the things that come up as weeds in our garden are also edible. Can you imagine? You could have 2 to 3 times the yield in your garden if you just learn to eat the weeds too, which is what I do. Malva leaves, put them in a salad, a juice. You know, I bet you can think of something clever, spanakopita, quiche. You can do all that with the famous Malva neglecta. Thanks for joining me, Brigitte Mars, on Naturally.